Good morning, Power Hour Nation. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. I am your honored host, and honored I am to be with you. In case you don't recognize the voice or are new to our broadcast, I'm Daniel Brickman. No matter what you hear, I want you to remember one thing, ladies and gentlemen. We want you to be happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. Joyce always used to say, it's all about the truth. Well, we've taken it a little further and expanded that. We want you, the truth will make you happy, healthy, successful, and free. Some people say, well, the truth doesn't make you happy, it makes you miserable. Well, there's a scripture kind of about that. But ultimately, the truth sets you free, and that's what you want. And that liberty is what we want more than anything in this world and out of this world, really. The Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Great broadcast we have today. Mary Fanning, of course, she was all over the past election, if you can call it an election, the different aspects of it, the different choke points with the data and what we really saw. I'm sure we'll get into that to some degree, but we're going to talk about Arizona. And we haven't brought this up, or at least I haven't on the broadcast much. In some ways, it's kind of, well, I'll talk about it with Kevin. We're going to have Mary on the second hour. I'm also going to have a caller. One of your fellow audience members is going to, we're going to get a hold of her the second half of this first hour. And the reason is because she's been to Cuba. And you think, well, so what? A lot of people have been to Cuba. Well, we're starting to see some different things in America mirror Cuba. And I want to discuss that and what that looks like. And so I think we need to be aware of this. So we'll discuss that with her and so much more. And of course, Uncle Kevin is riding shotgun. Good morning, Uncle Kevin.
Good morning. It's another great day in America.
Yes, it is. Are you?
It might even be a double great day. I feel awful good today.
What?
Because I woke up.
Okay. Well, you have a low bar, a low standard. We're glad that you've reached that today.
I'm easily pleased.
I don't think that's a word. Never mind. I'm just going to leave that alone. It's good to be with you. Are you feeling about this the past election? Is it like you don't even like to talk? I mean, what's your feelings about even addressing the last, presidential election?
Oh, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. I mean, yep. I just don't get how Trump just walked away from it, you know? I wish he would have came out and at least explained. You know, you hear all that stuff about, oh, he's going to enact this insurrection act, or he's going to call out the military. You hear all these scenarios, and nothing happened. He left office with a whimper, not a bag.
Well, he also he also was the one to introduce this experimental shot.
Oh, I know. I mean,
does that make you want to break your watch?
He did a lot of good things for Americans, and then he did a lot of crummy things too. So,
does that make you want to break your watch?
Oh, I threw that away a long time ago.
Oh, you threw your Trump watch away.
I thought at least he should have went down with a bang. You know, if he would have went down with a bank, I would have kept it. But that watch is gone, dead, done, never to be seen again.
What do you think when the topic of the Arizona recount comes up? What comes to your mind?
Good things might come out of it, but I doubt it. They got all the evidence underneath the sun that they need to overturn at least the electors, and then, you know, have the state declare it null and void, you know. But are they going to do it? I have no idea. I hope they do it, and then we'll see what happens at that. If they flip Arizona, then the other states can flip. And I don't know what the process is to bring Trump back in office, but I think he has a legal means to do it, you know?
Well, the Supreme Court doesn't think so.
I doubt it very much.
The Supreme Court certainly doesn't think so.
No, the Supreme Court, yeah. But the Supreme, what the Supreme Court surprised me. Did you see that?
Go ahead. I can't wait to hear how the Supreme Court surprised you.
Yeah, they said. Yeah, they said that they took the handguns away from this guy, and they didn't have a warrant. Did you read that story?
Is that like red flag laws? You mean, or what do you mean?
Yeah. They went into his house and they took his handguns away, and it's been in court for 10 years. Finally, went to the Supreme Court, and the guy won. That
after 10 years, God Almighty!
After 10 years, that's not justice.
Justice delayed is justice denied, isn't it?
That's exactly right. That's what our founders said, and that's exactly what it was. But God bless that guy for continuing it. Ten long years in court.
What was they took him for? They took the guns for what reason? I did not see this story. I don't know why.
They didn't say what it was. They just went into his house and they found guns there, and then they took them. I don't remember what the story was, but I was just focusing on the Supreme Court. I said, wow, I can't believe the Supreme Court, you know, upheld it, gave the guns back to the guy, you know, said,
well, there's always with them, you got to look through the, look at the fine print. You know, I'm not saying that's what this is, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it was something like, well, they couldn't take the guns because they didn't have a judge deem it. So they just did it on their own recognizance. But if a judge would have said, even if it was red flag law, see, they're kind of setting it up to where, well, if a judge in a red flag statute situation says that to take the guns, then they can take the guns. You know, so that's the.
Yeah, I didn't. You know,
you got to look out for
these
type of things.
Judge.
Well, let me tell you what I did last night.
So that was a good thing.
Well, probably. Yeah, let's assume. I have no. They're almost persona non grata to me, the Supreme Court.
Oh.
Because of what they did in the last election with the Texas case. Not even talking about the different suits that Trump and the Trump campaign brought up. I mean, putting those aside for a second, because there was many flaws that they had in there. The basis of the Constitution, the basis of the union of our country, is that the Supreme Court had, let me underline, had, we've had different lawyers on here.
Double underline.
We've had well-known constitutional lawyers. We'd have other lawyers working, very high levels of government say the same thing. The Supreme Court had original jurisdiction and had no choice but to hear that Texas case.
No choice.
If they did not hear that case, we do not have a union.
That's right.
That's how dire this is.
In our jurisprudence, for every law, there has to be a remedy, or we don't have law. And that was the remedy, that they heard the case.
Right. The only other remedy Texas has now, because these are sovereign states. I mean, they're supposed to be, but these are sovereign states that come forward under a union declaration, the federal constitution, under the charter of our nation, which is the Declaration of Independence. So the only other remedy Texas has now, they're a sovereign nation, or sovereign, whatever you want to call them, sovereign state. Their next remedy is to invade Pennsylvania. I mean, that's how this works, ladies and gentlemen. In case somebody, I mean, that's their remedy. You know, we don't like what you did, Pennsylvania. We're going to invade you.
Yeah.
That's the remedy.
Many people from California, so that remedy's gone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why the founding fathers, that's why the original jurisdiction, the Supreme Court is going to be the arbiter of these disputes between states. They have to hear it. Why am I bringing all this up? I don't know. I'm so aggravated. Mary Fanning is going to be here. And she, of course, was a lot of information about the election, but we're going to talk specifically about this Arizona situation.
Yeah,
and
they got all the evidence. They should be able to at least the state should be able to overturn it and give the electoral
votes. Well, you heard about the
what does
you
that
heard
mean?
About the case? You heard about the deal they made with the judge to stop verifying signatures on the ballots.
Yeah.
They were verifying signatures on the ballots. Obviously, they found problems, and then they made some deal. No, we're going to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna stop doing that. Let me tell you what I did. We'll talk about much more with Mary about Arizona. I think this is important. I think it's interesting, but I'm so aggravated about this whole past election like many people are. I hear even some of my relatives like, well, you know, where was the proof? Where was the proof? Are you out of your freaking mind?
Yeah. How many
counties in this country?
It was everywhere.
How many counties? I don't have to tell you anything else, but how many counties in this country had more people vote than were in the county?
There's proof right there.
That's proof. 100% bona fide proof election fraud. What else do I need to tell you? That's their figures, not mine. Pennsylvania, yeah. What was it? They put out 1.8 million mail-in ballots and got back 2.5 million?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
another proof.
Exactly.
What more do we need to even talk about?
There's proof right there. Null and void. It should have been null and void in another election immediately.
Well, that was Mike Pence. The states, I think some of the states, including Arizona, was ready to do something like that. All Mike Pence, this is just getting me aggravated again by all this. Ladies and gentlemen, why is this important now? It's because the illegitimacy, you know, that's the domino, the illegitimacy just builds. And when you have somebody like Biden say that, there are no guaranteed amendments in the Constitution, I have never heard a more treasonous statement by a president ever.
I know.
Ever.
Yeah.
If there is no guaranteed amendments to our Constitution, what he is saying is you are not endowed by your creator. That's what he's telling you.
Yeah, you have no rights. It's like going to, it's like going to court. When you go in our court system, basically your rights are gone. You're at the mercy of the judge because
Think positive. Yeah, because whatever, we're under a state of emergency or what, we don't need to get into that. Let's just keep it simple. I mean, let's just keep it simple. He says we have no guaranteed amendments. Really? I guess he can't read. Or I guess the foundation of our country doesn't mean anything.
Of course he can't read.
Oh, silly me. I wonder if my fourth grader could read better than him right now. I would say I'm going to go with my fourth grader.
I'm with you there. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, she knows that there's guaranteed amendments to the Constitution. I know that. I know that much.
Yeah.
I can bet you the guarantee that. Okay, let me tell you what I did last night. So our new place, one of our neighbors invited us over for dinner. Great. Nice. Super nice. Fantastic people, family, the whole deal. He's a doctor. Of course, you know, immediately. But, I told him, let's just be nice. Let's just have a good time, right? Super nice family. Awesome. They might be listening. Super nice. Had a great time. He cooked tri-tip steak. It was awesome. He smoked it all day. Amazing. Thank you. If you are listening, thank you. We started talking. Why am I bringing this up? He started talking about that stupid shot. And, you know, it's very difficult. This is becoming a dividing line ideologically in America, where if you believe, and I'm not trying to attach anything, we didn't really get into it, just very little. I didn't want to go there. I wanted to have a happy meal. If you look ideologically in America, this is the dividing line right now. This is the dividing line. Guns, you could say, okay, we'll use guns and this seem to be the dividing line in America. You either think that the government's role is to keep you safe and at all costs, and if there's any chance that this will help you, then you just got to roll up your sleeve and do it. Or there's people who say, wait a minute, I can make a decision. You're not even telling me the ingredients of the Moderna, which it says right on the insert is blank. The ingredient insert for the Moderna COVID shot is blank. Dave Janda sent a copy. Doctor, worked in Washington, knows all about it. He said it to me, blank. They're not even telling you what's in it. So this is the dividing line. Now, recently, Biden says people who are unvaccinated are going to pay a price. Cuomo comes out on cue. It's like they had the same meeting that morning and says that, basically unvaccinated people are going to have to be hemmed in while vaccinated people can be free. Before we let's start talking about this, Kev. What are your reactions to kind of the state of that whole discussion?
Well, if you're worried about cytotoxic storms and spiked proteins and changing your DNA, here's another reason not to take the vaccine. Bombshell FDA inspectors find horrid conditions in the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine plant. Over 15 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines have been halted, trashed, after FDA inspectors found ingredients from other vaccines in Johnson & Johnson jab and discovered brown residue all over the floors and walls and open bags of medical waste being dragged around the facilities.
Well,
that's
wow.
What I have to say about that.
We have a caller, Dave in the Thumb. That's in Michigan. Let's see what Dave has to say. Dave, you're live on the Power Hour. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning. Hello. Very good. Good to talk to you.
Good. Good. Good to talk to you, too. I hate to tell you this, Daniel, but guess what? Amendments can be amended. They are not guaranteed, but what is guaranteed is our Bill of Rights. They're not amendments. They're declarations.
Right. That's the context of what he said. I agree. You're 100% correct. I agree with what you said. I'm bothered that the founders really worded it that way. You are 100% right.
Yeah,
in the context that Biden said, Biden was talking about the Bill of Rights in that context. He was talking about specifically about guns.
Oh, I believe you. I didn't hear it, but I do believe you. That's what he's talking about. And they want everybody to believe those declarations are amendments so they can amend them. You guys know what the Dick Act is, right, of 1902?
Yeah. Okay.
That's the one about the second declaration in our Bill of Rights, that shall not be infringed means it cannot be changed or taken away. They have no authority.
The word in the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson used the word unalienable, and some people use the word inalienable interchangeably. That is not correct. The word unalienable and inalienable are two different words, and there was a reason he used unalienable. The definition, I mean, I can't probably get it verbatim, but I'll get close. The definition of unalienable is incapable of being restricted. The definition of inalienable is not being restricted. You think, wow,
and
they
also,
sound like...
It can be pronounced unalienable, which means it cannot be made foreign to us.
Great. I love that. And lean, like a lien on your house. So I love both those.
Exactly.
I love both those. Unalienable,
absolutely,
like a lien. You know, when you get a mortgage on your house and you buy your house, you know, who owns the house? That's my grandpa. Who owns the house? Well, me and the bank do. Well, right, you own it under certain conditions, and that's what the government's trying to say.
There's another big fraud there, too, but we'll uncover that on another show. But I would like to promote our national-assembly.net. We have about 30 states right now, including Missouri, that these states are forming assemblies in their states and counties. And we've got 3,140, I think, counties in America that have to be assembled, and obviously 50 states. But we are working towards this goal, and we're getting closer, my friend. And I'll tell you what, you know, I know we need the sheriffs, but the sheriffs need us. We, the people, is the first branch of government. We, the people, and grand jury is the second branch of government. And I know Richard Mack doesn't believe in we, the people. He really doesn't. It's unfortunate. But, you know, my good
Dave, I agree with everything you said about except Richard Mack. I know Richard Mack does agree with we, the people, and I've talked to him specifically about this many times, and that whatever the sheriff does, the people are going to have to come. To say he doesn't believe, I think that's misleading in the people. That's not true. Maybe from a certain angle, maybe he feels pessimistic about some of the things that are going on. That may be true, but to say that blanket, I think that's a little misleading. Go ahead, Dave.
I believe that, Richard, I've heard him say And I know other people that, you know, this may be hearsay, but they've told me they've spoken with him personally, and he doesn't believe in the people's grand jury. He thinks the government is in charge.
Okay, well, that's two different things. That's two different things. Okay, and it's the same thing. Okay, let me give you an example. It's like citizen's arrest. Okay, well, let's go. The governor is out of line and unconstitutional, so let's go arrest the governor. Okay, he doesn't believe in that. Even though it's probably lawful. There's probably a common law precedent for it there somewhere, and maybe you could find justification in the law to go ahead and do that. Maybe you can't. I'm not advocating that. I'm not saying that. Well, Richard Mack would say that's stupid. I don't believe in that, and that's why would you even go that way? Okay, that's kind of what he's saying with this grand jury. There's a much better way. Now, if the grand jury is going to meet together and start moving some things and moving the public opinion of a county or of a group, that's one thing. If they're going to say, okay, we're putting out an indictment for, you know, XYZ, and now let's go enforce it, that's where the gap is. Okay, how are they going to enforce it? And so that's what he's saying.
Need the sheriffs on our side.
There you go.
We the people are the ones they work for.
There you go. So who do you need to enforce it? The sheriff. You still need the sheriff.
No, I agree 100%.
All right. Well, that's good.
And that's where the sheriffs are not on board with us. You know, they have to realize that
some of them
the first branch of government is we the people.
Well, you got to also understand. Hey, Todd, let's get rid of the break. No break. Is that okay? All right. Let's get rid of the break. You got to understand first, and we got another caller. Just stay on hold. We'll get to you. You got to understand that. I can't remember. I got off track here. You got to understand it. It all comes down to the sheriff and enforcement. If you're talking about legal, lawful. Now, if you're talking about a revolution, well, I mean, that's what I don't think anybody wants that. That's not what we're talking about. Nobody wants that. Nobody's advocating that. The revolution happened 250 years ago. What you're talking about is the sheriff. The sheriff are put in a position where we have been so far. We've gone so far down the road that these common things, common law, seem so uncommon now that it is so difficult for these sheriffs to step out and to do this. So to do it, they need the people. They need more than 25 people of a grand jury to support them. They need hundreds of people. If it's a small county, you know,
right,
maybe a little less or whatever. I applaud what you do. I'm glad you're promoting it. I encourage you, you know, just for the record, I encourage everybody to be very careful. You certainly have the right to assemble, to express your opinion, but go through the sheriff. Go through the constitutional process to do this and present your ideas and thoughts to the sheriff, and then go from there. That's what I would encourage you strongly to do. So thank you so much, Dave.
And what I encourage you, Daniel, to do is go to the website, national-assembly.net. Click on the welcome tab. Create an account. You have to create an account, a username and a password, and then click on the welcome tab and look at the 10 steps of forming an assembly. This Michigan assembly, who started this all in 2010, this was created by a brigadier general, an admiral, and a colonel. And that colonel was a Navy SEAL, and I knew him personally. He's gone now, but I'll tell you what, this has all been deeply researched. It is all constitutional, and we
all right,
need
let me,
guys
let me,
like
I'm,
you
I'm,
on board.
Hold on, Dave. I am not, believe me, what I'm about to tell you is not negative or downplaying what you just said at all. But I will say this also. The Second Amendment is constitutional and lawful, and all that, and all these things also. But they are, you know, throwing that in the trash left and right. So if they're throwing the Second Amendment, which is so obvious and so sacrosanct in our country, what do you think they're going to do to a little bit of an obscure procedure that some colonels and some people? I'm not discouraging you at all. I'm just telling you the framework and the atmosphere that we're operating in America. I encourage everybody, please go to Dave's website. Support. I mean, anything to get your voice.
It's not my website. I'm just an assemblyman.
Okay. All right.
I didn't create it. This was done, like I said, in 2010, and we've been visited by those alphabet agencies, and they told us
sure
we're not doing anything wrong. And nobody's been to jail because of this movement.
I didn't say that at all.
Right now.
Dave, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just trying to put some perspective. And if you want to have success where the rubber meets the road, is you're going to have the sheriff on board, at least. Probably more. You're going to at least have to have a share fumble.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Oh, we're in agreement, buddy. Let's end it there. Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. National-assembly.net. Check that out, ladies and gentlemen. And CSPOA.org. Check out Sheriff Mack. Sheriff Mack is... I mean, do you have any comment on this before we go to the next caller, Kev?
The better off it is.
Go ahead. Do you have any comment on any of that, Kev?
Yeah, the more people that are active, the better off it is.
I totally agree. This is, I think this is very important.
And then once you get a big enough movement, then you blend them together, and you got a huge movement.
You know, and the difficult thing is getting, when you start trying to blend people together, is you start trying to get a common agenda.
Getting egos.
Right.
Egos
right.
In a way.
You see, you got to find a common agenda. And see, that's where Sheriff Mack is so critical and so important. All these other things, they don't matter. All that matters is the Bill of Rights. It doesn't matter about, you know, Brett sent me videos about Dana Ashley did a great video about Mystery Babylon and about America. It was great. It was great. You know what? It doesn't matter. It's insignificant into our future.
How do you enforce it?
Right. It is insignificant to our future.
Yeah.
Talk about a peaceful future.
At least with the sheriffs, you got the law on our side.
Right. Bingo. Let's go to the next. Any other thing before we go to the caller, Kev?
No.
All right. Let's go to Winnie in Ohio. Winnie, Ohio. And Todd, get Marsha on the line if you could, okay? All right. Winnie in Ohio, you are live on the air.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Great. Fantastic.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a double great today. How about
you? As we speak, right now, I want you to know that in the state of Ohio, there was a bill introduced, which is Vaccine Choice and Anti-Discrimination Act, legislation that protects individuals who choose not to be vaccinated from discrimination due to vaccine status.
That is great.
And that bill is being heard right now.
Great. Everybody, this is very important. I think we should pray for this bill. I think we should pray for everybody involved. This is very important. I'm sure Sherry Tenpenny's out of Ohio. I'm sure she's involved somewhat in this. What? Anything else you want to say about this, Winnie? This is very, very good news.
Yes, I know. But we're just asking everybody to vote yes on House Bill 248 in Ohio, because this is our medical freedom. So
yeah,
please
absolutely.
Hope that it goes through and everything.
Now in Ohio,
God bless you all.
Well, hold on, Winnie. Whoa, don't go anywhere. Now in Ohio, don't they have? Is it? I know some states they don't have a House and Senate. Is it House and Senate in Ohio? Or do you not know? Okay, so if it goes through the House, then it has to go to the Senate.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, I don't know for sure.
Some states they don't. I can't remember. I don't know everything about these states, but some of them don't. And I don't know everything about Ohio. So hopefully. Was it Texas? Do you remember, Kev? Was it Texas?
Yeah, yes.
And then the governor didn't.
This is another good. There's a lot of good things going around in this country. And this is one of them. Her story is one of them. And this is one of them. Texas state senator on COVID vaccines. The American people are now the guinea pigs. State Senator Bob Hall is under fire from the establishment media outlet for daring to question the safety and of COVID-19 vaccines during a state Senate committee hearing earlier this month. I mean,
well, I think what he needs to bring up is he needs to hold up the insert from the Moderna, shot and say, look, it's blank.
It's against the Nuremberg.
Right.
Code.
This is blank.
Yeah,
this is against the law.
It's already been set. That's settled worldwide law.
Right. Exactly. This is against the law. I mean, what else do we need to talk about? We don't need to talk about if it's good, bad, different, or what. You can call it gay. You can call it Ray. You can call it sunshine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
here's the ingredients. Here they are. It's a blank insert. This is against the law. This is against the Nuremberg Code. What are we in? Nazi Germany?
Right. Exactly. And that's settled law. Worldwide. That's not in question. All you have to do is invoke it. Get enough people to invoke it and it's over.
So many times these situations come down to the way the argument is framed. And it's so critical.
Yes.
It's like vaccines. You argue about whether it's effective or not. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
Who cares? Yeah.
Who cares? It doesn't matter if it's mother's milk. It doesn't matter. Do you have the ability to make a decision for you and your body? Because if you start arguing whether it's effective or not, they're going to drag out 100 scientists that will tell you this thing is the greatest thing since sliced bread and that you need to take it. And so then you're going to fight that? Your argument is, I have control over my body. Who are you?
Yeah, you have to have informed consent. That's what the Nuremberg Code says. You have to have informed consent. You have to know what's in the shot that they're giving you.
I don't know if you're still there.
Don't know what's in there. They can't give it to you.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to say? It's so good to hear your voice.
Oh, so good to hear yours also. No, just God bless everybody. And remember, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good, and God is in control.
Yes.
Wow,
absolutely.
I love it.
God is great.
Thank you, Winnie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Before we bring, is there anything else you want to cover today before we bring Marsha on? Kev?
Let's see. Oh, well, we could talk just, they have a lot of UFO sightings in.
Talk about this. I totally forgot about this. Talk about this.
Yeah. Well, this is, I've heard Wernher von Braun say this on a video back in 1971, but I tried to dig it up. I couldn't find the video, but I have something that's almost as good as the video. In 1974, Carol Rosen, a former leading aerospace executive and space and missile consultant, testified that Wernher von Braun said the powers that be were going to have a contrived global false flag of alien invasions to bring in their plans for a one-world government.
Wow.
So is that why we're seeing aliens everywhere on TV now? So they could have a false flag, especially with Operation Bluebeam, where they can have holograms up there and they look just like, alien crash flying around in the sky.
Now, I want to point out.
Fake alien craft up in the sky and then they blow stuff up
on the ground. I want to point out something here, you saying this, because I know people listening will be like, that's the most ridiculous thing. Let me address it.
Back in 1970.
Right.
In the 70s.
Right. This is not Uncle Kevin saying this. This is the head, what was his title? The head of rocketry or head of aerospace or something was saying this.
He was the head of the V2 program in Germany. And Wernher von Braun said this, they asked him after the world. I mean, after the war, he said.
World War II, you mean? World War II.
Yeah, after World War II. He said, why were your rockets so better than all the rest of the rockets, And he says, it wasn't that we had better scientists. He said, we had help. And what does that help mean? It infers to help from aliens.
Yeah, talking about Germany.
Yeah, Germany.
Yeah, he's talking about Germany. This is important. What we're about to talk about, Marsha, is very, very important. You wonder, vaccines. I mean, I don't know. I throw my hands up, ladies and gentlemen. These are the same things. These are the most important things. I go over them over and over and over again. Sheriff Mack, these are the most important things. And we can sit here and talk about whatever, and I can complain and bitch and whatever about certain things. And we do our fair amount of that. But ultimately, it will not matter for your future if the Illuminati is doing A, the Illuminati is doing B, the Rockefeller Foundation. It doesn't matter. Your future will be dependent upon the ideology of America and the ideology and the conviction that you hold to the foundation of this country and the law of this country and the law of God. Period. Those are the most important things. And what we're pointing out today, vaccines, this alien situation, we're going to talk about Cuba and you'll see why. These are the dividing lines to get you to separate from these things. That's why I'm talking about these things ad nauseum, because they are the choke points to get you to break with your ideology. That's why they are so crucial. So as far as, who's doing this or whatever, Albert Pike in 1877, all true.
All true.
All true.
His predictions are right on the nose, Albert Pike. Just go read Albert Pike.
Doesn't matter at all to our future.
Doesn't matter. No.
It matters not zero.
No.
What will matter is if your child goes to school for 12 years and is taught to be a socialist and there's too many people in the world and is brainwashed and brain mind controlled with high level technology 8-9 hours a day for 12 years. And he comes out and there is no God. I don't want to go to church and socialism is good. And you need to line up, take this vaccination for the greater good. That matters.
It sure does.
That matters. And you think, well, who's doing it? It doesn't matter who's doing it.
It doesn't matter.
Who's doing it is you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get mean about it, but you are. You're the one who lets your child. I'm just giving an example. You see my point. Okay. So here's another story before we bring Marsh on. This is out of the Economic Collapse blog, Michael Snyder. Love Michael Snyder.
Yeah, Michael Snyder. We should have him on.
Where is the... Now I can't even find the article. Well, I just had it here. This is important. What will you do? Here's the name of the... he always has a provocative title. I don't even have to see who he's from, and I can usually pick his title. He's a master of titles.
Yeah, he's great, that guy.
What will you do when inflation forces U.S. households to spend 40% of their incomes on food? You think, oh, that's
just Michael. Real soon.
Yeah, that's just Michael Snyder. Asset. No, it's not. It's not just Michael Snyder. Are you aware that the price of corn has went up 142% year over year? 142%. Most food, corn is the biggest part of food production in America. I'm pretty sure it's corn. If it's not, it's way up there. Pretty sure. 142%. You think the price of food isn't going up? Have you seen the futures market, CNBC?
Oh, yeah.
CNN and business, all that?
And Gates is buying up farmland as fast as he can.
As fast as it's selling.
Yeah, fast as he can, he's accumulating it. And what's that? What's he going to do with that? He's not going to grow anything on it.
Well, he'll put some GMO products on it or something. Who knows? I don't know. Whatever. He was involved with Monsanto. Doesn't matter. Again, this is one of those things.
Matter.
It's terrible. It doesn't matter. I mean, really. What matters is, are we going to enforce the law in this country? People always talk, well, that's the law. Okay, then let's enforce the law. We don't even know the law. It's, you know, whatever. In the last few years, about 10% of household income, disposable income, has went to food. About 10%. There was a time in America when it was about 17%, but also the price of housing was way down too. It's funny how that balances out, doesn't it? They make one thing go down.
They get you one way or the other.
Yeah, whatever. About 9 or 10%, give or take, for the last few years. The question has been raised by many people, not just Michael Snyder, what are you going to do when it's 40%? It's a very important question. We're going to bring Marsha on. She's a longtime listener. She's called several times before. I wanted her on because she has been to Cuba. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, moved to a new place trying to get certain things for the house. Okay, just go. I have not shopped for things for the house for a long time. And I think it's out now. I don't think there's any question about inflation, but you started to look at these things and I had sticker shock. I had sticker shock for the price of beds or whatever, or tables.
Trying to find a dining... A piece of sheetrock is outrageous.
Oh, my gosh.
It's tripled.
A piece of plywood.
Yeah.
With my mother-in-law, I wanted to put a... I had to get a piece of plywood. Guess how much a sheet of plywood was, Kev. Do you know? Just guess.
How thick?
Like half an inch.
Half an inch? $27.
You're not even close.
46.
It was $70, I swear.
Oh,
put the Bible in front of me right now, and I'll put my hand to God right now. $70.
Yeah, I believe it.
$70. Of course, that was a one-off sheet. I guess if you bought a bunch more, you could get a discount, whatever. It's a one-off sheet for something for my mother-in-law. $70. They had another sheet that was not as nice. That was $60-something dollars. $60. Put a Bible in front of me right now. I swear to God. I swear. That's what it was.
I've heard stories. I don't know if you want to hear the story about how we have plenty of wood in this thing, but they have shut it all down for wood industry to harvest it, and supposedly they're selling it out the back door to the Chinese. That's where all the wood is going.
Well, I've heard those things too. I don't know if it is or isn't.
Yeah, I don't know if this is true, but it makes sure sense. There's no shortage of wood in America because after they cut down the wood, they always replant. So
well,
there is no shortage.
Well, they're blaming
it's just
on COVID.
They have shut down the honest, hardworking lumber places to distribute it in America, and they send all the wood over to China.
Okay, this is a perfect set. All right, this is a perfect segue. We're going to get Marsha on. Marsha, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Wow, that's very funny.
Hi, Marsha.
Hi, Uncle Karen. I tell my grandkids, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. It's a polite way to, since we don't have a lot of politeness going on in this earth anymore. So.
Well, there you go. I wanted to bring you on, one, because I love talking to you. It's always a pleasure. Two, you went to Cuba, and I want to give people a perspective of what it's like in Cuba, because what we're seeing in America, you're starting to see the markets, the economy, the economies of scale, the supply chains, they're starting to resemble Cuba. And so please let us know a little bit about your visit to Cuba and what life was like for somebody, a tourist and somebody who lived there.
Well, let me give you a little bit of comparison today. I went to the bank to get some money, and you can't get it out of the machines, and there was a line that was 3 deep and out a line down the street. So people couldn't
really
get money out of the bank account. I don't know if it's just that bank. I don't know. I went to my app, and, you know, that works. The point is there's lines. In Cuba, there's lines everywhere. And people in Cuba have money. What they don't have is product. They can't get what they want. Like if you want to buy a refrigerator, well, we've seen that recently ourselves, have we not, with the freezers?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't buy a deep freeze.
Washing machine, dryer. Try to find a local. I mean, you're lucky. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, you go to a hardware store or whatever. Tell me you want a freezer right now. You may get one. You may not.
Yeah, they're back in supply a little bit better. But just after we got off the plane, the first thing you do, everybody wants to run to the restroom, and they give you one square to go to the bathroom with.
Wow.
So, really, I heard one guy say on the radio one day, he said, I want to show you my wealth, and he opened up a door in his room was full of toilet paper.
hey, toilet paper was valuable during World War II. You could use toilet paper to bribe German guards to get across the border. That's a fact.
Yep.
It's a store of wealth.
It's a store of wealth.
Store of wealth.
And who else was I talking to? Somebody that had been behind the Iron Curtain in the 60s or something. They said they always knew there was going to be rough times. What was the first thing that went? Toilet paper. When there was no toilet paper on the shelves, look out. They knew the next year was going to be rough. So there's an indicator for you. Anyway, go ahead.
It was probably rough toilet paper. It was probably rough toilet paper, too.
yeah.
But anyway, so that was our first experiences, although we'd been warned, and so everybody brought their own. And then we left plenty behind afterwards. But when we went to a small town called Cienfuegos, beautiful little place. And so I got to talk personally to our hosts. And there's a lot of things that they just cannot say or do. So they kind of whisper. But what I did notice is they were all against Trump. And so that told me that they get a lot of propaganda. I mean, you know, now we have our own questions about what's really going on. But everybody was, you know, they couldn't believe that I appreciated what Trump was doing for the country. So
they were surprised. Stop right there. That's interesting. They were surprised that you found some of the things he did and whatever. You found benefit from them. They were surprised at that. They couldn't. Do you think that's coming because of? Go ahead.
Propaganda. Propaganda is nothing but propaganda. Everybody gets the TV. I mean, you know, they don't get to choose what they want. They don't get these freedom programs like we get on the internet.
We get some. We get right. We get this right. broadcast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They don't get any of that, so they only get to watch.
Marcia, do you know why the government does propaganda all the time?
Well, it's just about control. Same thing with the
vaccine. It works.
Bingo. Uncle Kevin's got it. Uncle Kevin's got it because it works. Because it works.
What is it?
Because it works.
Because it works, yeah. Oh, it works big time. It works. That's a good answer. I'll keep that in my head. But, yeah, so, like, we were touring the city in different places. They ask, you know, you see, they said, you know, see the buildings that are painted. You know, they said, how do you decide what color of paint you're going to paint your house or your building? By whatever color the government has in store right now.
Wow.
You don't get to go down to Sharon Williams and choose a shade or a color, whatever.
They don't have color match. Little Havana doesn't have color match down there. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. If you want paint on your wood, I do know that years ago when I first met the Cuban people, they came as refugees. And that's how I learned to speak Spanish and how I got interested in Cuba. And they said that, you know, every time you go to the store, you had to wait in line. And there was there's no food on the shelf. Some of them, when they first came to the U.S. and they worked in the supermarket, I had a friend who just ran out and just started throwing up because he could not believe he saw that much food and people weren't grabbing it off the shelves. So sometimes things come and go, but I'm trying to think of some. Oh, the other thing is they have money, but they don't have any goods and services to be able to spend it on. So the example they gave me was I go down and I buy some shampoo. I like this shampoo. It works good on my hair. Next time I go down, I can't buy that brand of shampoo anymore. So whatever the government sends in and provides, that's what you can buy. They have two forms of currency. One of them is the CUC, which I believe is the peso for the people. And the other one is the peso, which is for the government people or people who are visitors.
So we'll talk about that a little bit. It's almost like a two-class system. Describe that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And so they cannot walk into a store. Americans cannot go to Cuba now, but North American, the Canadians can go down there. They have open borders for them and the rest of the world. So people go to Cuba. Americans, if they go down there, when we could go down there, we could not ride on any public transportation. We had to ride private transportation.
Really?
Yeah. But because anything that was supported by the government, we couldn't do. So we could not stay in government hotels. We did stay in private homes, which was a better.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a second. So hotels, are all the hotels government hotels or most of them or what's
Oh, yes.
The...
Oh, yes. Everything is owned by the government. Everything is owned by the government.
Because
and
the
so
question. The question came to me when you talk about toilet paper. Well, heck, why don't we just get a boat full of toilet paper and go down there and start selling it on the dock? I mean, basically you're saying the government would not let you do that, basically. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely correct. We went down to, in Havana, we went over to the big boat dock or a boat club, I think it was, something like that. And so I said, which one of these boats does Raul, who's now the president of Cuba, own? And they said, all of them.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
The government owns everything. And I've never been to a place that's more broken. Everything is broken. Buildings are falling down. You know, some cities will come along and condemn something, they'll clean it off. These things are just, they're broken.
Well,
but at the same time, I saw a lot of beauty there. That's the weird part about it. To me, the buildings, the people.
The weather.
You know, the personality.
The beaches.
Yeah. We can't go to the beaches. We could not go to the beaches because that's government owned.
Wow. See, that's like Mexico. Mexico is one of the most resource-rich places in the world. But yet you go to some of these, they're like a third world hellhole. And it's like, well, they don't have money. No, they got money coming out their yin yang. They got resources everywhere. It's the government. This is what I've been trying to tell you people over and over and over again about the United States. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. This is the most important statement on government that's ever been written, ever. Government's only purpose is to secure this. And anything more or less than this is evil. And so as soon as the government starts to usurp your rights and tell you that you're not endowed by God, this is what happens. It's so creation, God endowed you with power of creation, the power of life, the power to procreate, the power, it could just continue forever, it can blossom forever, and you can use your endowment and you can almost do anything. Mankind can do almost anything. They can do anything with God, anything. But as soon as you restrict it and government takes the place of God, that what do you have? You have chaos. You have broke down. You have lack of opportunity. You have lack of resiliency. You know, they like to use that word. You have lack of all these things. So when government takes the place of God and creation of what you've been given, you have destruction. So it's a either or. They can't coexist. You think, well, this is another system of government. No. Socialism is a system of destruction. The American system of individual endowment, individual rights, protection of these things codified into law, that is the government of creation. It is the government of expansion. It is the government of opportunity, of truth, of beauty, that you have the opportunity for all these things. If you believe in God, if you care about any of these things, then this is they're all connected, ladies and gentlemen. They're all of them. The Bill of Rights should be just as important as most of your Bible. I said it again. You want to get mad? I don't care. This is God's plan. And the founding fathers put it into law to protect it. Marcia, so good to be with you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Stay there.
See you, Marcia.
Mary Fanning on the other side.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.